Good morning. Welcome to Otagville Baptist Church. We are so glad that you are joining this morning via YouTube or on our church website at otagvillebaptist.org. You can view the sermon at either place. We're just glad you're joining us this morning. And we hope that this week, as we've opened back up our sanctuary to the people and everything, that you'll join us by coming. Instead of watching on Facebook, come and join us here at the church. We have two services that we're going to set up, one at 9:30 and 11. The 9:30 is going to be a mask mandatory. I'm the only one not wearing a mask right now in the congregation because I want you to be able to understand me. Then our 11 o'clock service is going to be optional. So we are glad that you are joining us this morning. As always, tithe checks can be made mailed to Otagville Baptist Church, P.O. Box 35, Otagville, Alabama, 36003. And also, if you go check out our website page at otagvillebaptist.org, you will see that we have a giving tab set up if you would like to give that way. We are glad you're here this morning. Leslie and her pips are going to come and sing for us, and we're just glad you're here. God bless each and every one.
Victory in Jesus. There's no handles, and when you don't use media shout for a long time, they take it away, apparently. So I don't understand that. That's okay. I don't know why they would do that, but we're going to do Victory in Jesus. If you know, you can sing with us. It's very hard to do with the mask, so I brought the pips with me, and we'll do the first and last.
We're going to get t-shirts next week.
Story, how a Savior came from glory, how he gave his life on Calvary to save a wretch like me. I heard about his groaning, of his precious blood atoning. Then I repented of my sins and won the victory. Victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is to him. He plunged me to victory. The cleansing flood. I heard about a mansion he has built for me in glory, and I heard about the streets of gold beyond the crystal sea, about the angels singing and the old redemption story. Some sweet day I'll sing up there the song of victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew. All my love is to him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood.
Trey is going to come real quick. He's getting his stuff and speak for just a minute, and we'll be back in just a second.
Well, it is so good to see everyone's smiling faces this morning. Amen. I told Brother Michael, I said, don't use my line. So I had to tell him just in case he thought of it first. But anyway, Brother Michael asked me to do this on Sundays in just a couple minutes to just share a little word, maybe a word of encouragement. It may be a word of conviction. I don't know what it's going to be every week, but it'll be something that the Lord's laid on my heart. And just a few weeks ago, the Lord started setting this up. I didn't even know it was going to start happening. And I was at a job in Atlanta, Georgia. And for those of you who don't know what I do, I drive a hotshot truck, which is a dually and a long gooseneck trailer, and I deliver freight different places. And one of the jobs we've been doing here lately for several years now is Walgreens. I've been taking new air conditioner units to Walgreens stores all across the southeast and this part of the country. And then while I'm there, they do a job. They take the old ones off, put the new ones on, and then I bring the old ones back. And so, you know, those jobs can take anywhere from 4 to 8 hours, depending on how long it takes. Well, anyway, this particular crew I was with was one of the faster crews, but he had somebody that I'd never seen before. He had a day laborer with him. He actually had two day laborers with him. And they normally don't do that, but for some reason they were doing that. I guess the corona stuff and all. But anyhow, had two day laborers with him, and one of the laborers was up on the roof doing the activities on the roof, and the other was on the ground with me. It was an older black man, probably, I would say, in his 60s. I don't know exactly for sure, but anyway, older than me, older. So before long, I'll be saying he was a younger man, probably in his 40s. But anyhow, and he came up to me, and I don't know what drew him to come and ask me this, but he came up to me after we kind of probably been there probably an hour, got everything set up. The crane was getting set up to do the job and everything, and kind of a lull in activities. And he came up to me, and he said, "Let me ask you a question, sir." He said, "Are you a Christian man? Are you a believer?" I said, "Well, yes, sir, I am. I certainly am." He said, "Well, let me ask you this question. My nephew asked me this the other day, and I really didn't know how to answer." And before I ask the question, I'm going to read this passage here, okay? I'm in Mark chapter 15, verses 33 and 34. "Now when the sixth hour had come, there was darkness over the whole land until the ninth hour. And at the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, saying, 'Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani.'" Say that fast three times. "Which is translated, 'My God, why have you forsaken me?' And he said, 'Let me ask you this question that my nephew asked, and I don't know the answer to it.' And he said, my nephew has a hard time believing in God because he says that he can't believe that God threw Jesus under the bus." I said, "Excuse me?" He said, "Yeah." He said, "You know, God just threw Jesus under the bus. He lived a perfect life and everything, and he just threw him under the bus." And I said, "Well," I said, "really and truly, that's not what happened." I said, "You see, God didn't throw Jesus under the bus. Jesus went willingly. And we know that in the garden, he asked the Father, he said, 'Can you let this cup pass from me?' And of course, the answer was no. Jesus knew the answer before he asked him. That was just his humanity showing. But Jesus came purposefully to die for you and for me. And if you think about it, he didn't get thrown under the bus by the Father at all. He pushed us out of the way of the bus, and the bus was sin."
Amen.
And I told the man, I said, "That's not what happened." I said, "Jesus came purposefully to die for you and for me." And it says here, it says, "Why have you forsaken me?" You see, God is holy. God the Father is holy. And he cannot look upon sin. And Jesus chose to take the sin of the world, the bus, for us. And at that moment, the Father had to turn his head. And Jesus chose that for you and for me. And he looked at me and said, "You know, I ain't never heard it that way before." And I said, "Well, maybe you can go back to your nephew and try to explain it a little bit better to him."
Amen.
And anyway, that conversation kind of led to another conversation that with another employee that was there who didn't speak up at the time, but about 3 weeks later spoke to me about something as well. And we'll talk about that next time. So thank y'all. Thank y'all so much. And it's like Paul Harvey says, I never knew Paul Harvey. So something about the rest of the story, all y'all probably know. So anyway.
It was good all the way to be.
You're not done, Trey.
You got to write. You're
still
write
a pit
that part
too.
Down, Trey.
I want a shirt that says "Pit One."
Right.
I got you. now Michael is coming. That's and it. It's very, very, very good to have people to look out to.
Good job, good job. Thank you, Miss Kay, for your wonderful play. And as always, Leslie and her pips, they do always a wonderful job. Trey, what a wonderful word, man, that everybody can take to heart. If you have your Bibles with you this morning, and I hope you do, or your cell phones, whatever you got, go to Acts chapter 2 is where we want to be. You know, and I struggled this week a lot. Tanya and Leslie had texted me and said, hey, what are you preaching on? And I said, well, you know, the first Sunday back, I always want to do a welcome back, but I said, we've been here every week. We hadn't missed nothing, so I said, I'm struggling with that a little bit, but it's good. What we want to do is we're going to look at the early church is what we're going to do, and we're going to see how they handled stuff, and there was some stuff that jumped out to me that, boy, it just really, it took my heart, and it said, you know, this is exactly what we need today as we start to get back to hopefully a little bit of a normalcy is what we're after, where we can come back into God's house. And trust me, we don't want anyone getting sick or anything like that. I mean, we want to be as careful as we can. I want everybody to be here, smiling faces and healthy and well and ready to go. My main question, though, to you is what I want you to think about. Today's title message is called Unity. And my first question for you is that I wanted to know, what did God teach you while you've been away? That had to have crossed your mind. It had to have. What is God teaching us? We're not being able to go into his house. We're something different. It's different right now. Church has never been canceled. Brother Alvin said it in one of our deacons' meeting, and I wrote it down when he said it. He said, church has not been canceled. It's just different. It's just different. How guilty are we of getting into the same routine day in and day out? Same routines we do over and over again. But sometimes, you know, if something happens, if something comes in there, it's not all the time bad, right? It's not all the time bad. Sometimes a change of pace is good. Maybe it's a new study Bible. Maybe it's a new devotion. Maybe you're mixing things up. You know what I mean? There's nothing wrong with that, but it happens to us all the time. We never get into the norm. That's when we settle in, and sometimes it's not a good thing. Think about this week, though. What did God teach me while I was away? What did God teach me? If we look at the early church, I'm actually going to open up and stay at Acts 2 right there, but I want to read one verse of Scripture, and that's Acts chapter 1, 7 and 8. He says, he said to them, it is not for you to know the times or the dates the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive the power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of this earth. Let's open up in prayer. Father, we just come to you right now, Father God. Our Bibles are open. Our hearts are open, Father God. Flood us with your Spirit, Lord. Help us, Father God, to go above and beyond, go above these walls, dear God, and to help us carry your message, Lord, to a lost world. Be with us, Lord. Lead, guide, and direct us, Father God. In the words that you would want us to say to others. What a wonderful example Brother Trey just gave us, Father, of always being on point and to not knowing that you never threw your son under the bus, Father, but he died on the cross willingly for you and me. Lord, be with us, Father God. Forgive us when we fail you, Lord. Open our eyes to what we truly need to see around us. These things we ask in your most precious and holy, holy name. Amen. A powerful witness is what Jesus intends the church to be. Amen? Everybody agree with that? Absolutely. And it says, when you think about it, what was the greatest miracle of the new church right there in Acts? How many different things do you think happened that happened right in the first few chapters when I was able to write them down? Holy Spirit coming down on the apostles? Yeah, that's pretty good. That's a good one. Baptism of 3,000 people. Could you imagine doing that on a Sunday afternoon? You better have packed a lunch. It's going to take a while. Healing of the lame man at the temple gate. Remember, beautiful? He was at the gate and he healed him. Peter and John before the Sanhedrin. We saw an example of what a committed follower looks like. What about Saul's conversion? Oh, yeah. Those are all powerful scriptures. What about the vision of Stephen as he was being stoned, as he saw Jesus? Amazing. Look at what Acts 2, 42 through 45 says real quick. We're going to start right there. 42 through 45, the fellowship of the believers. It says, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Look at the first word of 42, and it says, they. Who is they? Think about this for a second. Who is they? Well, could you imagine having a church that went from zero to 3,000 overnight? Look at what 241 says. And 3,000 were added to the number. Could you imagine? They didn't have no budget. They probably hadn't even had a chance to set up Baptist women yet. I mean, you know what I mean? They're just going by. But they were together. They were selling everything, the possessions. Everything was right there with them. It was a wonderful time. It says, every meeting had new faces. Really? Every service had brand new believers. They were just growing, multiplying, hand over fist. Maybe when we get past this, is this what our church is going to look like? Is it time? When I ask you the question, what did God teach you? Did he teach you to share your testimony with anybody? To maybe always be on point and be ready for the lookout, to never take it for granted? That's a lot of things he taught me. Because when I started as a brand new pastor and I was thought everything was supposed to go away, we're supposed to be in VBS right now and everything's supposed to be just so, and everything was going to be just to a T. We had just hired a new youth minister and everything is just rolling along so great. Then, bam, we stop. What? This isn't what I expected. I'm not all about, you know, they had a little thing on Facebook that said, and one Forrest Gump saying, and all of a sudden one day my pastor's a televangelist. I didn't want anything to do with that. It's just something that had to happen so we could reach the people. We haven't been canceled. Brother Alvin said it. It's just different. We have to adapt. It's just a little different. We might roll on like this for 3 or 4 months. Who knows? We'll just gauge it and go as we see best fit. What fits the church of Otagova Baptist? Those are the things. He said, this was also a very diverse church. When we refer back to they, there was actually 15 different regions represented. 15 different regions. Because they were there for Passover, is what they were there for. And then when one of the disciples, the apostles, shared the word of God with them, a lot of them were converted. Look at Parthia, Media, Elam, Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, Egypt, the areas of Libya, near Cyrene, Rome, Crete, and Arabia. The church had grown. By the time we get to chapter 4, the church is right there at 20,000 people. It's amazing. It is growing leaps and bounds. Now, when they started off, they're starting off fresh, just like we are. We're ready to flood the walls is what we're ready to do. What did God teach you? Because each and every one of us are ministers for Jesus Christ. Amen? Do you believe that? That is something you have to take to heart. Your walk with Jesus Christ is an everyday thing. And I promise you, I don't try to preach on the same things weekly, but this is what we need to hear as people of God. We need to be ready to step out and step forth and to go. Would you believe it? Some of these, and I've been keeping up with it because Tanya's been helping a little bit. Like Theresa Bryant and them giving away the 200 gallons of milk at the food pantry. What a wonderful thing. They were able to use the church and people flooding in and getting milk. What a wonderful example. We need some pamphlets is what we need. This week, a man had came in to see me at the store, and he had said, and when we had got done, we had a beautiful conversation. He reached in his pocket, and he handed me a pamphlet that said, "Are you a believer in Jesus Christ?" I flipped it over on the back, and I said, "Yes, I am." I said, "I'm actually a pastor at Otago Baptist." He said, "Oh, praise God, man. I'll keep you in my prayers." And when he flipped it over, it said, like, Grandview Baptist Church over in Millbrook. A wonderful way to outreach, to have something like that to pass out. Those are some different things, and I thought, oh, what a wonderful example of what we could do. So many different regions. Church grew. Look at what else the Scripture tells us, though. It said, back in 42, they devoted themselves. When we devote ourselves, we're talking about steadfast determination. They were, and then the Scriptures goes on to tell us, they were steadfastly determined to grow in four areas, is what it was. They were actually in teaching and fellowship and the breaking of bread, likely communion, and prayer. Those were the things they were devoted to. How many times when our church, when we get to meet back together, those things are so important to us too. Fellowship. Being in one house together. Because, believe it or not, you draw strength from being here. I'm a firm believer in that. You should have a church home. By goodness, if you don't have it, it's the hardest walk to do by yourself. But when you come into a room with a group full of other believers who share the same thoughts and have the same attitude and have the same stories, there is power in that that we need. There is power in that that we need to always remember that. It said, think about this real quick. Look at what 2:46 through 47 says. Let's read together. It says, every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. He added to them daily is what he did. Let me ask you a question, Autogable. Could the world use such a community today? Amen, it could. Exactly right. With all the problems in the world, the church is a community of saved sinners. If you call God your Father, if you call Jesus Christ your Savior, you're a brother or sister of mine. Period. That's it. Yeah, that's the truth. We all need to keep that in mind. He says, I'm going to leave you with four things today that I would love for you to read. And you don't have to, I'm going to flip over there, but it's in Romans. But it says, what does the Bible tell us to do? Think about this. You've already seen how the early church operated. Well, the things they were devoted to, I've covered all that today. But what does the Bible tell us to do? The Bible tells us to, number one, accept one another. It says, the second thing it tells us to do is to teach one another. The third thing it tells us to do is serve or help one another. The fourth thing, encourage one another. Can you agree with that today? Can you see with what we've been through so far? Can you see that God is in control? And that God has a plan for each and every one of us? Can you see that right in front of you? We've done had some scares right within our church, and it's scary. It's not good if somebody, we had it with Maddie first, and then we had it with Miss Kay, and there's probably been more. We had it with Miss Susie. There's been several times where you've been like, we don't want, who, you know what I mean? All these things start running through your head. We want to keep our mind. Look at what and you don't have to flip there, but this is what I'm ending with today. In Romans 12, 6, he summarizes it all right there. Paul does. He says, if we have different gifts, we have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it is serving, then serve. If it's teaching, then teach. If it's encouragement, then give encouragement. If it is giving, then give generously. If it is to lead, do it diligently. If it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully. We all have those different types of gifts. But when you put us all together, we are one more of a force to be reckoned with. Because we have the gift of Jesus Christ. We have that salvation. We know exactly what's going to happen. When all this started happening, if I would have went to your house and called on you and said, are you scared? You would have said, no, I'm a child of God. I know if the good Lord comes back right now, I know exactly where I'm going. That's exactly what you would have told me. Church wasn't canceled. It was just different. I'm glad we're able to be coming back into the Lord's house. It's good to see smiling faces. I'll steal it then, Trey. It's good to see your smiling faces. You know, it's been a different couple of months. I'm going to say that. It has been. I'm glad that we're getting back to a little bit of normalcy. I really am, where we're able to come into the house. I want to thank each and every one of you for being here this morning. I would like to close us in prayer. We are going to have a hymn of invitation. Is that okay? Because we haven't done that in a while, and I would like to have one. If anybody would feel led, mask up, to come down to the altar and pray, or you can pray right where you're at. Let's go to the Lord in prayer now. Father God, thank you, Lord, so much for all the blessings, God, you give us. And Lord, you're in control, Father God. We know that. Lord, we look to you for our guidance. Lord, we look to you for strength, Father God, for the day ahead of us, Lord. Just tomorrow, Father. Father, to all the fathers out there, happy Father's Day, Lord. I pray, God, that each of them, if they haven't, Lord, that they'll step up today and walk with you, Father God, if they aren't already. Lord, be with us as a church, God, as we do things a little different. But Father, help us to keep our eyes on you, always looking up, ready for your next step. Lord, we love you and we thank you. Thank you, God, for the scriptures, the words that you give us, Lord. We love you, Lord, and we thank you. Thank you, Lord, for sending your Son, Jesus. Father, these things I ask in your most precious and holy, holy name. Amen. Amen. Miss Leslie's going to lead. If anybody, I'm going to mask up best I can. 412. If anybody, the altar's...
Miss Theresa, 412 is at the very bottom. The Savior is waiting for those that want to sing along.
Thank you for joining us today. We look forward to seeing y'all next week. God bless each and every one. You can cut it. Stand up.
The Savior is waiting to lift your heart.
Why don't you
let him come in? There's nothing in this world to keep you apart.
Time.